Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly that God relented concerning the destruction of Nineveh, and he became angry. So Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Did you know that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish a second time? Would it be enough for you, having been swallowed in the stinking belly of a fish and spat up once again, to dedicate your whole life to Jesus? What do we read about Jonah? He was exceedingly angry. He did not see Nineveh's repentance as a victory for God, but as an insult to himself. He didn't see it as salvation of souls, but as a destroying of his reputation and his life. How selfishly our hearts can thus smart when we see our competitors succeed, our enemies flourish, our challengers proved right. Yes, Jonah was swallowed again. This time it was not by a physical fish. This time it was by a fish whose belly has an even greater stench, the stench of hell. He was swallowed by the great fish of self-righteous pride. "Those people, Lord, don't deserve your grace." Let's see. Deserve grace? What's wrong with that? Do we deserve it? And yet, how often are we swallowed by that same stinking fish? And thus, it is in our own heart that we see the reason that the book of Jonah was written. Neither Jonah, nor I, nor you deserve grace. We are by nature so warped. We ask for grace, and yet we can so easily think of many reasons why those people don't deserve grace. We cannot even come up with pious words showing why they don't deserve it. How self-centered. When we deny grace for others, we're denying it for ourselves. Grace is certain only because it is undeserved and universal. Romans 4, Jesus was delivered because of our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. It's because Jesus died for all that you can know he died for you. It's because in his resurrection he justified the world that you can know he has justified you, declared you forgiven, the holy child of God. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Jonah, we're told, actually then went out on a cliff out in the desert to watch the metropolis. He wanted to see the fireworks. He wanted to see them burn. But behold the miracle of grace. He did not watch fire come down from heaven on Nineveh or on himself. Rather, he saw a plant grow up so fast that in the first day of its growth, it already gave him shade. And he appreciated every little bit of shade from that hot desert sun. But that night, the Lord appointed a worm that damaged the plant so that it withered. And the next day, the Lord appointed a searing desert wind. So Jonah was fainting from the heat. And the Lord asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be jealously angry about this plant?" And Jonah argued back with God. That's always a good sign that we are not on the right path. He argued, "Yes, I have every right to be jealously angry about this plant. So angry, I might as well die. What have you done to me?" But the Lord pointed out to Jonah, "You were jealous about this plant, angry about losing it, wanting to keep it as your own, but you did not plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't fertilize it. You didn't make it grow. You didn't labor for it in any way, and its comfort you only enjoyed for one day. If it is right for you to be jealous to keep that plant, should I not be jealous to forgive and to keep alive as my own all these people and the children, 120,000 who do not yet know their right hand from their left? The Lord has labored for every one of you, every person. He created us perfect. He grieved at the fall of man, and he has so yearned to keep you as his own that he gave up the glory of heaven to go to the gory agony of the cross in your place, so that every sinner might be justified, declared for you. Your sins are forgiven. You are the Father's holy child. Behold the miracle of grace. Though swallowed again by that great fish of selfish pride, Jonah is once again spat up, forgiven, restored to the resurrection life in Christ, believing, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me." Since the book of Jonah closes with God's rebuke to Jonah, you may perhaps wonder, how can I tell you that Jonah did repent and was spat up again to this resurrection life in Christ? Because in this book, with so many miracles, perhaps the greatest miracle is that by grace, Jonah went home and told the world what a fool he had been. He relates all his own selfish disobedience, how he had blatantly denied the Lord's grace and salvation, not once, but twice. Notice how by the Spirit's work of repentance, Jonah lays out a contrast to his own disobedience. Everyone and everything in this book obeys God, except the preacher. The storm, the dikes, the sailors, the fish, the Ninevites, the gourd, the worm, the east wind, everyone does God's bidding except Jonah, the very one who thought he could claim to deserve God's grace. Yes, Jonah was spat up once again from that stinking fish belly and went home to confess, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me." Does God have to use as drastic means to provoke you to jealousy? To keep returning to him? To be jealously concerned about the salvation of every soul? Behold the miracle of grace. Jonah was spat up, not just for himself, but to tell Israel, to tell the world, to tell you and me so that we might learn with him to spit out all self-righteousness and boast in the cross of Christ alone. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 342, stanzas 1 and 5.